Dr. Niamh Shaw is up to play 90. Why? Well, because the European Space Agency's mission to Jupiter, codename ESA Juice, is actually due for launch in the next few hours. Niamh, how are you?
I'm great, Jen. And yes, you're right. I'm totally nerding out. I'm in space bliss at the moment.
You're
yeah,
heaven.
Absolutely.
You'd
you
love
have
this.
You know me so well.
Now, Niamh, we have talked about the Juice mission before, but unlike me,
yes.
You know, some of the listeners weren't paying attention. So what is it all about?
Well, it's our mission to Jupiter. It's the European Space Agency's mission to Jupiter. And we have other partners from America. We have NASA and we have Japan, JAXA, their space agency. And then we also have Israel involved. And we're trying to understand Jupiter. Like, Jupiter is this crazy planet. It's the biggest one in our solar system. And it has a huge influence on us as a planet and also on the other planets around it. It has huge gravitation, like, you know, the way, you know, when we weigh ourselves on the scale, you know, none of us are ever happy with that weight. But say, for instance, I don't know, we're 120, 130 pounds or something. If you were to stand on Jupiter, it would be 5 to 6 times heavier than that. It has a much bigger gravitational force than ours. And yet it's like mainly made of gas. It has this huge magnetic field. And, you know, like we have a magnetic field around Earth that protects us, but the Jupiter's one is off the scale. You know, anybody that goes to Lapland in the winter time or Iceland in the winter to see the northern lights, seemingly like that's nothing compared to what happens in Jupiter. So we're going because if we understand how Jupiter works, and then it has like nearly 90 moons, how that works, we can kind of predict like how our solar system formed and how other big, big, big planets that are out there formed. So it's just to help us understand things better. And this has been in the planning for 16 years already. Like when they hit launch today, it's going to take 8 years for the spacecraft with all the instruments on board, the science instruments on board. And then it's going to be another 8 years in Jupiter, if Jupiter doesn't fry it, basically, because of all the radiation.
Oh, you need so much patience to work in this industry.
Oh, you really do.
So this is a big, big day for you. But you're in Germany at the launch center. But the launch is in South America. Why is that?
Well, the European Space Agency's launch pad, so NASA has theirs in Florida at the Kennedy Space Center, and, you know, China has theirs in China. So for the European Space Agency, we have ours in a city called Kourou in French Guiana. And the reason for that is you're always trying to find a launch site around the equator, because what that means is that when the rocket takes off, it's kind of going straight off Earth, whereas if you do it slightly north, you've got all this, you know, like, because if Earth was a cube, it wouldn't matter where you'd launch from, right? But because Earth is round, the further up you go, then you've got to kind of travel further to make that distance. So if you go to if you launch from the fattest part of our planet, so that could be the North or South Pole or the equator, the more efficient it is and the quicker you can get off the planet. So Kourou is a district run by France. It's in French Guiana, and, you know, France is part of the European Space Agency, and the actual launch company that are launching the rocket are a French company called Arianespace. So that's why we're launching from Kourou. But it's very tropical. We were supposed to launch yesterday and it didn't happen because of the tropical climate of Kourou.
But listen, what if the internet goes down? Well, you know, you might have problems there. You just do it tomorrow.
You know, it could happen
again
today. You just do it. Well, the mad thing about this launch is you only have a minute. Sometimes, like launches, you've got a 2-hour window. If you go in the next 20, you're grand, you know, if it's like, you know, some of our public transport system in Ireland compared to the German transport system. But, you know, you have to go in the minute for this launch because it all lines up. So it's like yesterday it was supposed to happen at 1:15. Today it's happening at 1:14 and like 30 seconds in. And if that doesn't happen, I don't know.
Who's pushing the button? Who gives the go ahead?
Well, there's a control centre where I'm in Darmstadt at the operations centre at ESA, and they're working with the people, you know, operating launch there on site, and that's the Ariane company. So between them, if there's any hint of a thunderstorm, which is what happened yesterday, they can't launch. They just say can't launch because they're just
they've waited 16 years for this. They can wait another 24 hours. Listen, I'm sure it's nothing. But experts say there's a good chance of some form of life on the icy moons.
Is that true? Well, it's really interesting. The moons of Jupiter. some of them are almost like planets. There's one moon called Europa, and NASA have its own mission going there as well. Europa has a core like Earth, and it has a salt water underneath this kind of icy surface. And then another moon, which is the main kind of moon that this mission is looking for, looking at, is Ganymede. Ganymede has its own magnetic field. There is more water on each of these moons than there is in the oceans of Earth. So there is a lot of things that are there that we need for life. So you've got water, you've got energy. You've got, it's not energy like what we have on Earth. A lot of it is kind of this magnetic energy and radiation, and you have some of the building blocks for life. So we, you know, there are certain chemical reactions that happen here on Earth with life and with the chemistry and with water. It would be slightly different on these moons, we believe, but there's all the elements are there. So it could possibly be a place that could harbour life in the future. Maybe not Earthlings, though, because of all the radiation and the magnetism and all the crazy stuff that happens around Jupiter. But it could be something.
It could be something.
It's really interesting.
We'll find out in 8 years.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's very, very exciting. And please God, it actually happens at, what is it, 1:14, did you say, today?
Hopefully. 1:14 and 30 seconds, yeah.
1:14. Don't forget about 30 seconds. God, you're very particular. Niamh, now yesterday we were actually chatting about Mars Dune Alpha Habitat, where four people will simulate life on Mars.
Me.
Oh, I know, but you're in Germany. Yeah, but you had a similar experience. You did something like that, if I recall.
I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, so you're talking about this NASA mission now, where they're going to put people in, they're going to lock them away for a year.
Yes. Yeah.
So I went to the desert in America, in Utah, which is hundreds of miles from nothing. And I went into another kind of tin can, like what they did. And I lived there just for 15 days, and it changed my life, because they took water away from us and they took food away from us. And we had a very limited ration. And then every time we went outside, we had to wear a spacesuit. And it was incredible. Within 2 days, I was completely acclimatized.
Wow.
I've never, ever lost my appreciation for water. We had two plastic barrels of water, and we had this useless motor that would, like, when you went to turn on the tap, it would go, I'll never forget it. And you'd know how much water you were using by the amount of honks that came out of the motor, you know. So the toilet blocked when we were there. I didn't shower the whole time I was there. And actually, it was amazing, Jen, because I like to feel clean, and I like, you know, I like to kind of feel good in myself. I adjusted so quickly. We were incredibly smelly, and I only realized how smelly we were when we left. It was like we went nose blind, which is true. You do go nose blind if you're all filthy dirty.
How many people were you in with?
There was five of us in total, and there were days where you just wanted to strangle them. But it's kind of like the worst caravan holiday ever. You know what I mean?
I said I would rather go to Mount Joy than do something like that, because the food would be better and the entertainment would be better. What did you do all day? Were you completely bored?
No, because you're living to survive. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like if you went back to a log cabin and you took away all your creature comforts, your whole day is occupied with just doing
living stuff.
So we got up, we had breakfast. Somebody was on the road to clean up. Then we planned when we were going outside on our spacewalks, because we had to collect samples of the area because we had the whole science mission going on. Then who's on lunch? Then you have to help the people suit up. That takes 40 minutes. Then you have to help them come back. You have to stay on radio. Then you have a ton of reports to get in. Every day they needed a load of reports. My job was the crew journalist. So my job was to take loads of pictures and write about it and kind of humanize what was happening. And then I had a ton of GoPros everywhere. They're those miniature cameras. So I loaded up everybody every day with a GoPro. So I had to download everything they had, all their videos.
So you were busy.
Pick some. Oh, it never stopped. I went to bed like at 1 o'clock every night. And I was chronically dehydrated.
That is
crazy. Migraine headache the whole time I was there.
Oh,
yeah, it's mad.
It is mad, because I had this vision of being in this habitat, in this tank, with me feet up, reading smut literature for like 8 hours a day, because I'd be bored out of my head.
But no internet.
Bring a book. I bring dirty literature in.
I'll bring a book.
Yeah, bring an old book.
Yeah,
did you bring a lot of books? Did you bring books in? What was your comfort thing? Did you bring anything nice in?
No, I didn't. What did we do? You just got into conversations. Like, that's what you just tell each other stories. We'd have dinner became a huge thing. It became this epic thing that we all would take hours getting dinner with our freeze-dried food. Like, we had nothing. We had dried butter, dried potato, dried everything. But you would try to make something of it. And every other night, we did like a culture night. So what we did was we talk about our country and we'd make slides and stuff like that. And then we did have some videos. There were some DVDs there, and we'd have movie night maybe every 3 or 4 nights. But you'd be so knackered because you couldn't sleep because there's motors going the whole time. Can you imagine living in your garage where they've left the lawnmower on all night? Because that's how noisy it was. And the heating system was this hot air that would blow in. And I had a bunk that was up at the very top and the heat would rise. I had a headache the whole time I was there. And like, you go to the tap would go, you know, to get your water, so everybody would know that you were drinking water, and they'd all look at you because you had only a rationed amount of water, so you couldn't even like glug back litres of water. It was I pushed myself really hard. But I tell you what was most amazing, Jen, when I came back to my apartment in Dublin, I was kind of embarrassed that I had so much space, and I kind of looked at my wardrobe and I was like, didn't miss that. I realised I missed nothing. And I had all these possessions. So I gave away everything. I gave away everything that I owned. And I kind of just have a few kind of suitcases of clothes now. And that's how I live. I'm very nomadic now, which is why I can live in Strasbourg. It changed everything.
Wow.
It changed my whole perception.
Your whole life, is it?
Yeah, it is. But it changed our whole perception of how we build houses. Mm. Like, everybody can live with solar panels. And if we could all appreciate water better, it changed. I have to say, it changed everything. I've never seen water differently.
Wow.
Like, even when I brush my teeth now, I go, shh, I'll just put a little piece of water on my toothbrush. I never leave water running anymore. I remember, sorry, I don't know if we've time for this, but there was one mad thing. We came out of our experiment. We were all gone mad at this stage. We had gold kind of calls and stuff. So we'd make this call for a peacock for dinner and mad stuff. Like, we had our own language. We do go mad, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we went into this cafe and we were planning to spend the day together. And I said, I'm just going to go to the toilet. So I go to the toilet. We'd only flush the toilet for number twos, not number ones, to save water. And I left the cubicle and I went, oh my gosh, you know, I better flush the toilet. I thought I'd broken the cistern. So much water came out. And when I went to wash my hands, the same thing happened. I was trying to turn the tap off and I couldn't. It was one of those automatic taps, because I'd been used to like three flaps to wash my hands. Yeah, you know, it really showed me we take water far too much mm-hmm. for granted. You know, so yeah. So it's worth for everybody to get stuck in a tin can for a few weeks.
I don't know. I think I'd rather just listen to you do it. Just amazing. I didn't realize. I mean, you've talked about water literally for me. I didn't realize that was the one thing that you would appreciate so
massive.
So much. I'm definitely not going to leave the tap on now when I brush my teeth. I'll be thinking of you every time.
Good.
I'm brushing my teeth now. Dr. Niamh Shaw, thank you so much for joining us in Germany. Well, keep an eye on that. I'll be thinking of you at 1:14, and sure, it's only 8 years.
It's probably launched.
Yeah, it probably will, but it'll be 8 years before we find out if it actually worked. But that's okay. you'll come back to us in 8 years and tell us how it went, will you?
I will indeed.
Okay.
I will indeed. Always for you, Jen.
Thank
always.
You, love. Enjoy and talk to you soon. There we go. That is Dr. Niamh Shaw, an absolute legend in Germany for at the European Space Agency's Operations Centre for the launch of codename ESA JUICE. It is a mission to Jupiter. And it's due to launch in the next few hours, and it's going to take 8 years to get there. Jupiter sounds fascinating, doesn't it? I think we all learned a lot today. Or in that last 10 minutes, I have learned so much.
Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.